Derek.
God bless you.
On the wings of a dove.
The next verse.
Oh, Jesus, our Savior, came to earth one day. He was born in a stable, in a manger of hay. Though he rejected, but not from above, God gave us his sign on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Amen.
Praise the Lord for that. Musicians, you may be dismissed. Thank you so much. Good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Good to see everybody. It's a good turnout tonight. Praise the Lord. Greetings to those online. Derek. Okay, I've been told that the closer I get, the better. So, how's that? Is that better? Okay. Okay, good. Wonderful. You can all hear me? Way in the back? Okay, wonderful. Praise God. Good to see you all. God bless you. I'm keeping you standing so we can get right into the Word. Why don't we just jump right in? I'm just going to pop this up. I'm going to get better at using the screen because I like visuals. And so therefore, I should use visuals. Let's just go right to Isaiah chapter 43. Thank you, musicians. I really appreciate it. And thank you, singers and congregants, for making the musicians actually have an audience, something to do. Exactly. Okay. So we're going to jump right down to verse 14. And you're going to start reading this and say, I know what this is. I've heard this somewhere before. And then we're going to be like, this is even better. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake, I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cries in the ships, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse and the army and the power, and they shall lie down together and they shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye, can we all say this verse together? Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. And then next verse 2, behold, I do a new thing. How it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You may be seated. God bless you, and God bless the reading of the word, and may he quicken it to our hearts. So the main theme tonight is the wilderness of our life. We're all in a wilderness. Every one of us, we've got problems. We've got big problems sometimes in our life, right? And we're like, what in the world? God's with us, but we're in the wilderness. And maybe our wilderness doesn't look like we're camping with no water and no food. It might just look like we've got illnesses, we've got impossible problems, we've got conundrums, family situations, and we're saying, Lord, I'm here, I'm waiting, and what can we do? So, because we know we have him saying, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. And now he's saying, don't think about just the old things. I'm going to do a new thing for you. And that's, we love new things from God. Unless we're those bad guys in the wilderness when God did a new thing and he swallowed them up by an earthquake because they did something wrong. So that's not our story, is it? God has new wonderful things for us. Usually we have two things that we do in a wilderness. We say, what if it doesn't work out? Because we have gut reactions of what we're going to do. And then we know that we say, we know better than that, Stephen. We say, even if, we still won't fret. We still won't, even if we stand in faith. Because we have this MO, this mindset, this inner dialogue, that our God is able, whether it's in the fire, whether it's water over our heads, whether it's a land where you're just trying to survive. How many have ever been in emergency mode in your life where you just got so fixated, Peter, on that, like, just get through this day. And you look back at it and you're like, wow, that was intense. And I remember one time Dad was going to work at like 5 a.m. and he fell down the stairs and he tore his ACL. And I ran up the stairs because it was 5 a.m. and I was asleep and I heard wham and came up and Dad's on the floor on his back. Oh, Peter knows what it feels like. Did anybody else rip their ACL? How did it feel, Peter? He said terrible for those online. And I got there and I saw him. I'm like, Dad, are you okay? And all of a sudden my ears started literally ringing and I started gagging because I had this physical reaction that I couldn't control. And I went and leaned over the sink and I was just gagging just because my body couldn't handle being in an emergency that quickly. So don't call on me. It will not be good. But you see that we can't control a physical reaction. We say, what if this happens? And that's just thinking in advance. When we're in the moment, it's just pre-programmed into us, this knee-jerk reaction in this emergency mode. And so we can get caught in days and in years in where we're in a mode of just trying to get through. For those who have back pain, has anybody ever had to take muscle relaxants for back pain? Okay, Peter, again, I'm not picking on you. You're just involved. So is that I got so locked up in my back and so tight and so in pain. And I was like, I don't want to take Advil, but I'll just try it. And so I took Advil for 3 days. And it was weeks and weeks, and I was doing stretches and everything, and all of a sudden, it released, and I was fine. There wasn't any immobility. There wasn't any injury. It was just that my muscles said, hey, something happened 3 weeks ago, and we got to protect this guy. He could get worse hurt, and I had to take something to make me relax and get out of an emergency because my body was involuntarily staying in emergency. And so that's our limbic system reaction to things. And so we can live our lives in complete emergency rather than seeing God do a new thing. So this, again, is the whole point of the sermon tonight is really to see, Lord, do a new thing in my life. If I have something that just can't become unbound and there's pain and pain and pain and pain, God, do a new thing for me. I love how he said that. Like he said, look, I will do a new thing. How it shall spring forth. Won't you know it? So look, pay attention. I'm going to do a new thing for you. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So praise God that God has a way for us. I love when Derek preached on God works in the impossible, or on almost impossible, because it's not, we don't say that word. We don't believe in impossible, because we have God who makes all things possible. But we have to step beyond our mindsets, because there is something that we have to get beyond. So let's just dive in a little bit to the wilderness. What is really a wilderness? Because we don't really, we don't see it. We know Brother Don's taken us many times of a reaction in the wilderness, and we just talked a little bit about that. But usually we go into other things. It's someone else's fault that I'm in this, or it's I've seen people. I worked with this guy. He said, "Stephen, I go home and I have all these problems, and I sit in my chair and I can't move. I just sit there and I wait and I can't move." And my wife says to her husband, like, "You could do this. I know you can do that." And he's like, "You had a dad that showed you how to do things. I didn't. And so I can't." And so he could not even help himself in natural things, like fixing a car or working on the house. And so he had generational mindsets that says, "I can't." He was in a wilderness where he had just problems that kept piling up. It wasn't even spiritual. And yet he was just stuck in his mind, "I can't, I can't, I can't." And he says, I just sit in that chair and I'm in high anxiety. And we know that the Lord puts stress is good, because it activates our system to do something. So when the problem is, people don't know what to do. So sometimes we're in a wilderness and we just don't know what to do. So we're not trying to do anything wrong. We just don't know what to do. And then, of course, in the wilderness, what did they do? They said, "Oh, it's Moses' fault. He's the one that brought us out here. Even though we cried for a deliverer, we voted for him, and now we should just get rid of him." But and then there's also, of course, fear, like we talked about, and then being a victim. What are some other things that we do in a wilderness? Anything, Derek? We look for water. We're thirsty. The needs of the body just start screaming. And so we just immediately think that way. And some of those things are good. We should think that way. And it's really what we do in that situation. I think it would be really wonderful, Josh, if there was a way to like create a story of what if the wilderness narrative of the children of Israel had that expectation of faith in their heart went on day three in the wilderness. Is what if they said, someone rose up, maybe it was Bezalel, the guy who made the ark, and he's like, "That's it, you guys. Our God just brought us through the Red Sea. Remember the plagues? What? This is just water. This is just water and food. Just water and food. He just rained animals down from the sky, frogs. He rained flies. He can do whatever he wants. He made the river into blood. He can send us the best food, the best kebabs, just kebabs falling from the sky." And he could have just said, let's just call on the Lord. Let's get this done. And then Moses says, "There's a tumult. Joshua, let's go check to see what's going on." And there, everybody's just crying out to the Lord. And the Lord all of a sudden lights over the tabernacle, and he comes down and he says, "I have seen the faith of my people in the wilderness, and I see what's in the heart. I am well pleased. I am sending water from a rock, and I am sending down manna." And the people would have brought that down. My, what a testimony that would have been for that. But we know God, we look to him for a way. So what solutions does God give? So we're going to jump to first. We're gonna jump to Actually, Luke 24. The road to Emmaus. Story time. And I learned something new this time. I'd never noticed this before. So we know that this is chapter 24. If you look at the top, you can get the gist, the resurrection of Jesus. And remember, the women went to the tomb, and what did they find? Jesus wasn't there. And there was the angels that said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And Jesus is risen. He's alive. And he's alive. And so what did they do? They went back and told the disciples. All right, so now we're going to go to, I think it's verse 8. And they remembered his words, the angels' words. Because they're like, hey, we got to remember exactly what he said because we got to tell everybody. Even though we see what happened. In verse 9, and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. All the rest. That's important. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna. If anybody's watched The Chosen, there's Joanna, remember? And Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. So there was at least four, if not more. There was multiple, so at least five, that all saw it and were like, he's risen. And remember, they were in a kind of a wilderness situation, right? There were fear of the Jews. They're held up. They had to go incognito to get groceries. They were just trying to figure out what in the world are we doing this problem. And their words, and verse 11, let's just really ponder this. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And what I didn't realize until this time is it was the 11 and all the rest. So there was all the rest, including verse 13. And behold, two of them went down that same day to a village called Emmaus. So they had just been told. I didn't realize. I space out when I'm reading the Bible. I'm just going to say it. And so I didn't realize, Natalie, that they had just been told by probably 10 women, Jesus is alive, and an angel told us, why is he the living among the dead? And aren't you excited? And they're like, forget that. Let's go. Let's go back to Emmaus. And then they started walking. And then Jesus came along. What a great setup. And it says, so there, and it was about 7 miles. They were going back to Emmaus. So that was probably a good half day's walk. And they walked together and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I just wonder if he was kind of just walking behind them and they're just kind of walking them like, oh my goodness, people are saying Jesus is risen. And he's like, oh. And to think that. And then he says, and their eyes were holden. What does holden mean, Derek? They couldn't see that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? So they just heard the good news and they were sad. And then one of them said, and I think this is just like, to me, this is so humorous. Cleopas answered, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? And one translation says, are you the only one in Jerusalem that didn't just see what happened the last few days? And I can just hear Jesus saying, I'm actually the only one that knew what happened the last few days. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to show them a new thing in their wilderness. Right? And we're walking along, right, in our life, and we're like, and how many times is God providing solutions? And you're like, do you not know what's going on? That's me. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all of his people. and how the chief priests and our rulers and on and on and on and crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have. Is that past tense? But we trusted that it had been he which should be redeemed, have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done, which is important because, like, remember when Lazarus was the fourth day? It's like, hey, he's stinking. Like, he's dead. So this is day three. He's dead. Notice they're not mentioning, okay, so then they did. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and they found not his body, and they came saying they had also seen a vision of angels which had said he was alive, and a certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus, so we're not really going to believe. I don't know. And he said unto them, O fools. And this goes, so here we see verse 13. He's laying down the hammer a little bit. And this is really important. Look at what he identifies in their heart. And this is really, this is the surgery. This is the ouch. This is, so what were they? Foolish, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And you think, my goodness, God has given us a prophet in this last day. And to drill down on that and say, let's not despise, the scripture says, despise not prophesyings, is that we either believe him or we don't. If he says it and God inspired him and we see that in the scripture, for us to not be of slow of heart when he's speaking, when the Lord is speaking through him. But it says to believe all the prophets have spoken. It didn't say, oh, fools, slow of heart to believe all that the sisters just told you. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? See, he's saying, this has got my plan. Didn't you see my whole plan through the scriptures? The prophets foretold all of this that would go this way. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So again, he's showing them a path, a direction in the wilderness. Now, this is what is so wonderful, is there was a part that they had to do. Would their eyes have been opened? Because he said, let's just read on. And they drew, in verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Why did he do that? Well, Sister Lenore. Right? Yeah. Yes. It's like God wants to see that we're not just, he's not just there to give us a lecture. And we're like, yeah. And then, okay, now he just follows us home and like we open the door and he just walks right in and continues the lecture. Is he's saying, do you want to know this new way? Do you want to say, no, I want what you have for me. I want this new thing. I want, he had just gotten done telling them they were fools and they were slow of heart to listen to the prophets. And they're like, tell us more. Would you come to our house? To think that he had that, they didn't have that limiting belief of like, you know, that we just went through maybe a false prophet. That's kind of in the air. And now we could get burned again. We spent 3.5 years with this guy. And then now, maybe, we don't know their inner dialogue. But now he's like, they constrained him. Please tell us more. Abide with us for it is evening. Hey, spend the night. I know you just got done telling us that. And it kind of raked us over the coals. But would you spend the night? For it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. Praise the Lord for this. And their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. And we're going to jump. And they said, we know this did not, our hearts burn within us. We knew, we had that, like, that was the God feeling we had inside when he was talking to us. And they rose the same hour. So notice, like, I just want us to, like, really focus on this part. What a difference is, I got to jump back, time machine, to verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And here this is like, they were, again, fugitives, and they're giving them the answer, and they're like, I'm not listening anymore. And then now, they rose up the same hour at nighttime and returned the 7 miles to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. They just got in and saying, and Simon saw, but Jesus wasn't there. And now they're saying, it really happened, and he even appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And what's this wonderful, because then what a signature move, the next part. And then Jesus appeared to them again. Boom. Peace be with you. Oh my goodness. Just imagine that moment of all of a sudden, he is alive. Oh, Jesus, you're right there. See, I told you. And here they're the ones that are like, idle tales. You know, that same day. And now here it's the end of the day. And now they're like, I was telling you that the whole time. What happened is that there was a transaction that happened from, I don't want to hear the way. I don't want to hear this. I'm in a wilderness. I'm slow of heart. I don't even remember what the Bible says about this. It's just too much right now. We're just going to go home and, like, maybe we can figure this out. We know what happened. Praise God. Praise God. One another scripture the Lord put on my heart, Matthew 18. When the Lord gave me the scripture, I was like, what in the world? Sometimes I'm just dumbstruck because I'm like, what does that have to do with away in the wilderness? And so I'm just saying, Lord, I'm just yielding to you because I'm still understanding. The question was asked of Jesus by his disciples. We're going back in time. Verse 1, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. What an amazing thing. And he said, truly I say unto you, except you can be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And where are we going, saints? Where? Derek. Oh. Should I turn it off? Is it distracting? Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's my last slide. We're all entering the kingdom of heaven. We're not in the kingdom of this wilderness. Is for us to remain childlike and to be like those two on the road to Emmaus, where we can go wrong and then be like, I feel like this is the Lord. Would you come over to our house? Just being simple and just to see the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. And to think that they could have passed by
let Jesus pass by and they received him. And there was something, why? And I didn't realize it until now, is now let's back up. Before they said, did not our hearts burn in us as we walked and talked with him along the way, as their heart was burning so hard when he was talking and opening the scripture with them, they're saying, this is like, remember when he said, will you also go away? But our hearts were burning, saying, Lord, where could we go? Where could we go? My heart's burning. And for us to be able to say, Lord, when he's making a way in the wilderness, and musicians, you can come, is we have all these impossible situations in our life. And we say, God will make a way. How many times in that situation we do say, God will make a way? That's a good song. We can sing that or play that. Key of C was fine, Sister Laura. Is God will make a way. And yet, there was the obstacles. There was a circumstance. There was the limbic system to go into emergency. There was a limbic system to say, push away the solution that God is giving. There was to not go into survival mode, but to go and to look for his way, to look for not our ways, but look for his ways. I hope that's a blessing for you tonight. And the Lord is speaking to us. Like, I was so surprised. And I just say this because I know, I want you to be confident as I am, that the Lord wants to make a way for us in our wilderness, in our impossibilities. The Lord is working. He's saying, I'm here to give you a solution. And sometimes we have to do something, but we can always give it a test, right? Am I afraid? Then I'm not in that new way. Am I worried? Am I in doubt? Do I have no peace? Then we're not in his way. Because when it's in his way, it's this path of peace. It's this place, as Psalms 23 says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. It's this him leading us in this place. We should have soul restoration. We should have the ability to have that stillness like Brother Jesse was preaching about in that moment, to be able to say, it's going to be okay. In the fiery furnace, God has given us a way. He is here with us. Amen. Let's all stand. God will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me, and he will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side, with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way. We'll just do the chorus one more time again. And we'll make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me, for he will be my guide. Hold me closely to his hand, with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way. faithful, saints. He's doing it. If we can just see not the desert, but the way. If we can see through those eyes of faith in that third day in the wilderness when it looks like death valley, to say, this is not the way the Lord writes the story. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He who began a good work. Forget those former things. The Lord's doing something. He's doing something new in our lives. Amen. Amen. Josh, would you close us in a word of prayer?
Thank you, Lord, for coming and being with us this evening. I just do pray, Lord, that you would help us to walk with you in the wilderness, Lord, but to rely on you. Lord, help our faith to rise up. Lord, that we would just not look at circumstances, but look at your promises, look at the word, and Lord, just raise up our faith to trust in you, and to Lord, let our mouths speak the words of life.
Like,
help us just to say the things, Lord, despite the circumstances.
Yes.
If it's a bad day, help us to say thank you, Lord,
yes,
for what you're doing.
Yes.
If there's something difficult, say thank you, Lord, for this difficulty. I just look forward to you,
yes,
showing us the way through.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, just that our hearts and our minds would somehow be tuned to understanding that you're there.
Yes, Lord.
And that you're working in our lives.
Yes, Lord.
And that you have good for us. We just ask that you'd be with each one as we go our ways now, and continue to work in our lives, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Josh. God bless you, saints. Oh, he who will be my God.